to help us prepare to worship this morning. Let us join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. And welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. Looks like the weather has kept some of us at home this morning, so we're really going to have to sing out to be heard this morning. So let's all join together and sing loudly this morning. I want to extend a very special welcome to those of you that are visiting with us. We hope that you have a very meaningful worship experience with us this morning and that you will come back to visit us often. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street as a possibility for that home. And as we pass the attendance pads down the pew, if you'll give us your address and phone number, we can then have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of Main Street. So if you would now please pass those pads down the pew, and visitors and members alike, please register your attendance. Our Wednesday night gathering series continues this Wednesday night, and we will be beginning a Bible study. Reverend Dennis will be teaching a class, a study of the parables. There will be a second option of programs. Parenting 101 will also be offered, so you've got a choice of the Bible study or the session on parenting. The program begins at 5:15. The meal begins at 5:15, and the program at 6:15. And if you are going to be attending, please make a reservation using one of the cards in the pew rack or by calling the church office. Members of the Board of Stewards are reminded that you have a meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Trinity classroom. There are several issues that will need to be voted on in that meeting, so it is an important meeting. That's this afternoon at 4 o'clock in the Trinity classroom. Also, as many of you know, Main Street will be hosting a Salkehatchee camp this summer, July the 7th through the 14th. There will be an organizational meeting on Tuesday, February the 27th at 6 o'clock in the church library. If you are interested in being a volunteer for Salkehatchee, or if you just want to find out a little bit more about what Salkehatchee is, then please plan on attending that meeting this Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the church library. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand for our call to worship. May God your refuge, the Most High your habitation.
All who call upon God's name will be saved.
Let us worship God. Please be seated and join me with the invocation as found in your bulletin. Let us pray. O God, our deliverer, you led your people of old through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide now the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now I ask you to turn to the insert for a baptism, a high and holy moment of worship. Today we are baptizing Livingston B. Lawrence. Now ask the parents to come forward to bring Livy, I think I said that right, and all those you have asked to stand with you. You'll join me in the insert, the baptismal covenant. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Livingston B. Lawrence for baptism. Now I address you as parents. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
We do.
Will you nurture Livy in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We do.
Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include Livy and her family now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Livy with the community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us all join together in confessing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the quick and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
And now the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness, that throughout her life, dying and being raised in Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Livingston V. Livy, I baptize you in the name of the Father
and of the Son
and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Livy, it is our joy to welcome you as a new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Livy to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you, strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. This is a spoon that you send off, and it's prepaid. They will carve her name on it.
Thank you.
Okay, and here is, this is what you send it off in. Okay, if you could go kind of present to her. As we approach our prayer time, I have several announcements to make, concerns. I will not read the entire printed list, but I do have some updates and additions. Lewis Sherrod has gone home. Mary Metger is recovering in Charleston from surgery. Elizabeth Scott is still in the hospital. Hayden Eigelhart was briefly in the hospital this weekend. Shorty Callison, still awaiting some test results. Benny Moore, home recovering. Louise Watley, home recovering. Mamie Scurry was in the hospital, is now back at National Healthcare. We've also been asked to pray for Sloan Johnson and Ted Boblin, who is facing some surgery in the days to come. From our list, I lift up Tina Haskin-Bell, Bet McCord Bly, Karen Dent, G. Poe, Leighton Daniel, Jenny Hammond, and Francis Daniel as special concerns. With these concerns in mind, and also those that you hold in your heart, let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we pray in the season of Lent for renewal of thy church and of our common life together, renewal of our minds. Cause us to search for deeper meanings and hidden truths that you mean for us to discover. Keep us aware that life is not meant for drifting, but for growth and good deeds. That we are meant not only to discover the nature and structure of our material world, but also to explore the reason for our being, the purpose for our existence as men and women, to grow in knowledge and grace. Help us to practice the disciplines of study and perseverance and reflection, by which alone our eternal laws and truth are revealed to the inquiring mind, and by which mental integrity and intellectual self-respect are ensured. Keep us ever obedient to the command that instructs us to love you with all our mind, as well as with all our affection and strength and deeds. Thus may we also be obedient to the wise command which instructs us to trust in the Lord with our whole being and not on our own understanding. We pray also for the renewal of our hearts and affections. We pray for the renewal of our souls, our central selves. Cleanse and purify our desires and make us sensitive to others. Lord, strengthen what is good within us, and help us see what needs to be overcome and grown beyond, to face it and to pray for the strength to overcome it. Lord, in the season of Lent, let us honestly gaze upon our inward selves and pray to you for the power to overcome. Lord, hear now the prayers of our hearts for these we have mentioned aloud, for these we have recorded in our bulletin, and for these concerns we lift only before you in our private prayers. Hear now our private prayers as we lift them before you in our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear them, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite the children down front now for the children's time. Angela Rowland will be having it today. Angela Rowland with our children.
Good morning, everybody. Is it working? How many of you like chicken nuggets? I do, too. Thank you. Thank you. Wouldn't it be great every evening if you could go out, walk out in your yard, and pick up boxes of chicken nuggets, as many as you wanted, for supper? And in the morning, go out and pick up biscuits off the ground, biscuits and honey, just as much as you wanted. There's a story like that in the Bible. God's people, the Israelites, they were being captive in Egypt. And then when they were finally freed, they were wandering around on the desert trying to find the land that God had promised them. And they wandered and wandered for several months, and they started to grumble and complain. They were hungry. And they complained to their leader, Moses. And then God heard them complain, and then he told Moses, tonight I'm going to send quail over the camp so the people can have meat to eat. And in the morning, when the dew dries, they can go and pick up bread and eat as much as they like. And he did that because he wanted those people to know that he loved them and he could provide for them. Sometimes we grumble and complain, and we should really be saying thank you. So let's do that right now in a prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, sometimes we grumble and complain. And when we do, help us remember that every good thing we have comes from you. Amen.
We thank you. Now let us pass the peace. And if you happen to be sitting in a place that water comes on during the time when it's raining, use this occasion to find another pew that's dry. Let us pass the peace.
Good morning. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 1 through 11. You can find that on page 226 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in the office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring you the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us the resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Yeah. bring you now the gospel lesson from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 13, the temptation of Christ. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not even dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until a more opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I have gotten a few comments about my sermon title, Belly Button Lent. It will all become clear soon, I hope. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite writers, C.S. Lewis, made some insightful observations about temptation. He said, "No man knows how bad he is until he has tried very hard to be good." A silly idea, he continues writing, "a silly idea is current that good people do not know what temptation means. That is an obvious lie. Only those who try to resist temptation know how strong it is. Christ, because he was the only man who never yielded to temptation, is also the only man who knows to the full what temptation means." Now, the Hebrew word for good, tov, it really means something more like complete or mature. We are good when we are complete. And we are complete when we love God with all our hearts, minds, and souls, and love our neighbor as ourself, as God intended us to be. But we tend toward evil when we judge and cut ourselves off from others and turn inward, feeding only our own desires, our own temptations. I am assuming that you all know that you are not complete and not good and not perfect. I'm assuming you know that. And because you are not perfect, it must be true that you could be a better son, a better daughter, a better mother, a better father, a better husband, a better wife. In short, a better person. And if you agree all with all of that, then you also know that you are not perfectly a perfectly good and mature Christian, following God's will at every turn. Lent is a season of the year, a season of the gospel, a time to get straight about the reality of our situation, and not only about our need for a Savior, but our each and individual need for growth. We can do better. God's Spirit is the power to help us do better. You could be more faithful to your faith, more true to your faith. Think about those words, more true to your faith, more true. That means some parts of our lives are lies. Some parts of our lives are not faithful and not true to what we say we believe. We lie when we say one thing and do another. And I'm assuming that we all agree to these things, each built upon another. And yet, when it comes to temptation, we look with compassionate and rose-colored glasses at ourselves as good people who try hard and fail sometimes, maybe fail even more than we should, but still we see ourselves as basically good people. That's the way we see ourselves. Looking deeply at ourselves and judging the world in reference to ourselves is focusing more than a little too much on ourselves. It is indulgent. It is blindingly too self-focused. In seminary, we used to call this navel gazing. Now, down south, that's belly button gazing. And I did not know until my Wesley Commons Bible study group on Thursday told me that folks up north don't have belly buttons. That's what they told me. They have navels. Some don't know what the word belly button means. Anyway, navel gazing, in this sense, it's self-referential thinking, glorifying in us, defining things in terms of us, even sin and God and goodness in terms of us. And usually it ends with us thinking we are basically good people. It is possible to stare at yourself so deeply that you see nothing clearly, not even yourself. Whole congregations can do it. A congregation is navel-gazing if it only considers its members and its concerns and ignores the community around it. I like the story comedian Dick Van Dyke tells about the little boy who figured out how babies get their belly buttons. The little boy said he had it all figured out. He said, "You see, when God finishes making babies, he lines them up in a row, and then he walks by and he pokes them and says, 'You're done, you're done, you're done.'" Well, contrary to the little boy's theory, God is constantly, at least God is constantly through his Spirit telling me, "You're not done, you're not done, you are not done." Other people might see you as saintly and righteous and devout, but you are not done yet. And God knows that. And I hope you use Lent as a time of self-examination so you'll know just how far you have to grow. In some ways, I am sure you seek God's will and seek to make the love of Christ known. And in some ways and parts and times in your life, I am just as sure that you don't consider God's will at all, nor the love of Christ. You're not done. Grace. It is grace that God will accept us as we are, and grace that God will grow in us faith, and finally, grace that anyone ever enters heaven. No one arrives as fully good and perfect in this life. Woe to those who think they have arrived in faith on their own. There are certain central truths which you can derive from someone's self-image. If one believes that they have attained humility, they have not. If one believes and proclaims, "I have attained wisdom," they have not. And if one believes they are free from temptation and sin, or to make it more personal, if you think you are holy and good, you are not. That comes from taking a too narrow view of yourself, so narrow that you really cannot see anything at all. Today's gospel is about temptation, specifically Jesus' temptation. The devil said to Jesus, I'm going to sort of paraphrase it to fit us and that scripture, but the devil said to Jesus more or less, "Forget God's will. Shortcuts are okay for you to meet your physical needs and desires." And then he said, "Forget God's will. Shortcuts are okay for you to gain power. So go ahead and make a deal with the devil." And then he said, "Forget God's will. Shortcuts to God's plan for your life are okay for you. Take the easy way out." Jesus, he was saying, "You're special. Forget God's will." But Jesus didn't buy it. Sometimes we do. Now, I could truly and scripturally preach about the temptations of Jesus and leave us out of it. And that would meet the needs of many to feel good about having come to church and to continue to feel good by not being forced to see any problems inside here. But no such luck today. We all have problems inside here in our heart and our mind and our will. At every temptation, we are tempted to do what we know to be wrong. At every temptation, we are tempted to say what we know to be self-serving and untrue, to take the easy way out, regardless of right or wrong or who it hurts or cost. All of these temptations faced Jesus. The devil even used Scripture to tempt him to shortcut out of God's will for his life. All of these categories face us as well. Temptation. Didn't we pray about temptation just a few minutes ago? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Many have interpreted that from the Lord's Prayer as saying that, Lord, give us strength that we not yield to temptation. Deliver us out of the evil when we begin to yield, out of the easy way, the self-centered way, the self-serving way. When the time of trial comes, deliver us, for it will come. Jesus promised to give us strength by the Holy Spirit to resist the shortcuts and the temptations that try us. And Jesus also promised, the way I read it, that temptations and dark valleys will come. The devil gave up on Jesus during his time of trial. It says, until a more opportune time. That time was before the cross, in Jesus' moment of weakness and extreme suffering and fear and feelings of abandonment. We have moments like that too. Now, we may not speak of those sorts of moments in Sunday school, but it is Lent, and I'm speaking of them, and I know that we have them. With our children, with our spouse, with our health, with our offers too good to be true, and in the dark night of the soul when we wonder if there is a God at all. This is why the apostle warned, do not be conformed to this world's pattern of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't get bogged down in temptation and doubt. Give yourself to God and grow. Never underestimate the power of temptation. Never overestimate your own strength to resist it. Unless you say no early in the game, you don't have a chance. Whether it's doubt or excusing your own inexcusable behavior or breaking the promises you have made, the problem for most of us is that we get as close as we can to the temptation and we keep running the idea over and over in our minds to see how it might play out, and suddenly we've gone too far and we've hit the point of no return. And yet, if we've lived long enough, we know full well from experience and from pain that temptations are always lies. Always lies. They never deliver what they promise. The outcome is never good. The antidote is to seek God. And seeking God is all in the world that repentance means. Repentance does not mean I'm sorry. Repentance means to take a turn back toward God, to recognize you've been walking away from God and to return and turn back toward God. That's repentance. Repentance means to choose to cast off all the self-centeredness and pride, to embrace a spirit of humility. It means to replace the desire to use others with the desire to serve others. It means to strip our souls bare so that we see ourselves as we truly are. And to stand in Lent's uncomfortable desert, self-accused of sin. Thus, spiritually naked and exposed, we become open targets for the salve of God's grace, the salve and the comfort we need to renew and grow. Navel gazing can convince us that sin is not sin when I do it, that God understands when I do it. I do it for different reasons than other people. And I did not enjoy it when I did it, and I had to do it, or worse things would happen. Or somebody else did it to me, so it's right for me to do it back to others. Or I don't care what anybody says, I've made up my mind, and God will just have to understand. Or I'm already saved, I don't have to worry about sin anymore. I've heard all these excuses about deeds done badly. If sin is anything that is contrary to the will of God, then what we need to seek, obviously, during Lent is the will of God for our lives. Seek it. Pray for the power to live it. You already know it. It's not so hard. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Treat everyone the way you would want to be treated. Speak to everyone the way you would want to be spoken to. Deal in business the way you would want to be dealt with. And do not judge others unless you want to be judged. There's more to this faith of ours than self-awareness and navel-gazing. There's God and others to deal with. Lent is the time to deal. Amen. Please stand. Now receive this blessing, this good word, this benediction. Be aware fully of the love of God the Father, of the grace and the forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, the Son, our Savior, and the comfort and the guidance, even in this moment, through the Holy Spirit, God with us. You have been blessed. Be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.